Hi there, I'm Niall Kahn, and this is the P-Pro Podcast. P-Pro helps millions across the world pay and get paid for goods online. And P-Pro is a part of the larger fintech industry. And this industry is constantly in flux, and at times can seem quite opaque. In each episode, I sit down with some of the expert voices from within P-Pro to explore and hopefully illuminate an area of the fintech industry. 4 years ago, P-Pro conducted a survey about consumer online shopping preferences in the UK. And in these 4 years, much has changed. This week, I sit down with Jack Ehlers, Managing Director of P-Pro SA and Director of Payment Partnerships based in Luxembourg, to talk about P-Pro's latest UK consumer survey, as we discuss how and why consumer preferences have changed. You'll find the survey results in the footnotes, along with Jack's LinkedIn. And now, Jack Ehlers. Jack, thanks for joining me today. What are we going to discuss?
We're going to talk about a recent consumer research that P-Pro's done. We did one back in 2014, and we just went back to the UK again after a few years to see if things have changed in how we're people are using payments.
Okay. What else can you tell me about the survey of UK consumers?
Well, we worked with Berkeley Communications, and we worked with them in the first survey to really look at the payment culture and how payments were affecting international purchases, you know, online purchases. We also wanted to look at what it might mean for merchants in the UK if they had a very broad or more limited online payment strategy. So this is 4 years later. You know, we went back to Berkeley. We wanted to have a comparison of those 4 years and see if any of those attitudes have changed. The aim was to show if UK merchants are maybe losing sales or losing customers, potential customers, by not considering a broader or maybe more multi-payment approach to their e-commerce strategy.
There were 1,000 interviews. And how does that skew? Was this just 16-year-olds, or was this a fairly accurate representation of the entire UK population?
We looked at respondents to the survey. It was an online survey that we sent out. They were all over 18. And we applied it across gender, across age of respondents, and across region. So it's a fairly it's a representative sample of the nation.
One of the first questions that they asked in the survey was, how often do people buy goods online? And maybe you could just walk us through what the results were.
Well, we found that 5% of the respondents said they make a purchase every day. So a lot of online activity that people are doing, even on a daily basis, up to 3 times a week, 14%, once a week, 20%. So there's, and that was really that that sweet spot, really, of once a week, every other week, once a month, at least 1 in 5 were making online payments in that time frame. Less than once a month, that was about 15%.
That seems remarkable that 15% of the population didn't buy something once a month.
Once a month. So there's still a lot of people out there that are just maybe new to e-commerce, or they prefer to go to the store.
Right. And yourself, how often do you end up buying goods online?
It depends on the time of year, really.
Okay.
You know, when it's around Christmas time, it's pretty often. You know,
yeah.
When it's sometime in the summer, it's probably a bit less. But I'm probably once a week.
Okay.
Yeah,
once a week?
Like once a week,
my
yeah.
goodness.
Yeah.
Do you ever, like, buy random things? Or, like, there's a program online where you can have Amazon send you items less than $5 or 5 euros?
I haven't tried that.
Okay. And so these people who are buying goods, the vast majority, 75%, buying something more than once a month. What are they actually buying?
Well, it's basically the same things that people are going to the stores for, right? They're just changing their purchase behavior. So, it's groceries, it's clothing, some electronic goods. People are buying digital goods like music, films, or other downloads. And travel was also very popular for online. The top category was clothing, and then it was groceries, and then it was travel.
That the groceries thing surprises me. It was 19% of survey respondents bought groceries online. I don't know how it is in Luxembourg, but I don't think we have that in Germany. I mean, I have friends in the US who never go to the grocery store anymore.
Right, right.
But
I
have never heard of this in Germany, at least. Have you?
Not in Germany so much. We do have a service in Luxembourg. You can order your groceries, and it'll be delivered. And even some of the smaller grocery stores even have a service to do that.
So this was an interesting question they asked here, was have you ever abandoned an online retail site because of the payment process? Mm-hmm. And for this question, we also have data from 4 years ago.
Right.
And what do we see generally with the responses from 4 years ago?
Well, the first thing is that we had an increase in the number of people that said they never abandoned their cart. So back in 2014, 26% of the respondents said that they never abandoned the cart. That's increased to 33%. So one out of three online buyers stick with it. The others that did abandon carts, they abandoned them for some of the most common reasons. You know, they abandoned it because the payment process was perceived as too complicated, or they didn't offer me the option that I wanted to pay. So my preferred payment method wasn't available. Also, the payment method may not have really worked. But what we've seen between 2014 and 2018 through the survey is that those rates have actually gone down. The reason that people have abandoned carts were higher in 2014. They were higher because it was too complicated. It was higher then because they didn't offer my preferred payment option, or it didn't work. But those rates now have gone down. So what we're seeing overall in the industry is that payments online work pretty well, or at least they work better than they did 4 years ago.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see that these rates had actually gone down. I would assume they would have gone up just because people have become more established in whatever payment method they want to have. That took me aback in a way.
Yeah, it was a good finding. I think it's important for retailers to know, and merchants to know that what they're doing with their payment and checkout experience is getting better.
The survey obviously had a follow-up question for them, mm-hmm. and tried to get a little bit more detail as to what were some of the reasons that people did stop their purchase.
Yeah, you're right. You know, over two-thirds of people said that they abandoned the online transaction, and it came down to a couple of reasons. The first was just a lack of payment options that people wanted to use. They were expecting to have an e-wallet or a bank transfer or a card, and it wasn't available, so they just went somewhere else. The other is that the payment method was overcomplicated. That may have been, maybe there was an SMS code that they had to receive and they couldn't get it for whatever reason. So there's still some areas of improvement for, you know, payment methods in terms of making it easier for customers to complete the purchase, still feel secure and confident that they're, you know, making a payment to that merchant and there's no fraud involved. So there's still work to be done around that, because two-thirds of those saying that they abandoned transactions, that's a lot of online transactions and sales that are lost by merchants. So as a merchant or an integrator into the checkout process, you know, one thing that you can look at is take a hard look at the payment process that you're integrating. Every step that buyer is taking, don't just look at the logo and put on the checkout button for whatever payment method it is, but go step by step and see if there's some optimization or improvement that you can make or work with your integrator or your provider so that you don't lose those customers because it's overly complicated or cumbersome or just too complex.
This kind of ties in well to our next question was, are you more likely to buy goods from Europe if it becomes easier to use familiar payment methods? So first of all, what payment methods should European merchants integrate to get UK buyers? And then what, maybe just tell us about the results of that question.
From the results of the survey, I would say that European sellers have to have those preferred online payment methods for UK buyers. So that's e-wallet, that's a PayPal option, that's a debit or credit card option. The respondents here said that they were more likely to buy goods from Europe if it became easier to use something that was familiar, and 75% of the respondents said yes. 25% said no.
Right. And how does that compare to 4 years ago?
It's an improvement. It's an increase in the number of people. So 4 years ago, a little over half of the respondents said that they'd be more likely to buy goods from Europe, 75% this year. So we're seeing that there's just more comfort, even in, you know, the what we talked about a few minutes ago, a willingness to buy from overseas retailers. And obviously, it's more likely that a UK buyer would be comfortable buying from a French or a German or an Italian online seller.
When I think about making online payments, my main concern, I would say, is security. And that also seems to be a factor for many of the UK survey participants who were asked to answer what was the most important part of using an online payment.
This hasn't changed in so many years. You know, we've only done this survey for a couple, but it has been a recurring theme in the payments industry for at least 10 years. Security for buyers or those payers is at the top of the list. They want to make sure that they don't lose their online credentials or their access into their account. They want to make sure that when they make that payment, it goes to this merchant. They want to have a confirmation of their payment. So security, like you said, that's at the top of our respondents' list as well. Ease, convenience, speed, these are all of the things that do influence that. But if you don't have security, you really won't make that sale.
One of the interesting things about APMs is that oftentimes they might be more secure than a usual credit or debit card. Do you think that's a factor? Do you think sometimes APMs can be more secure than traditional cards, other payment
options? Cards have come a long way, right, in terms of the security features that they have, two-factor authentication. You get an SMS code or a one-time password, you put that in. That wasn't in the original, you know, sort of card-based payments, and there was a lot of fraud around that. And fraud, you know, hasn't gone away. There's been ways of getting card numbers and things like this. There's also been a regulatory push in Europe for insisting on secure payments. So online payments, because fraud was a problem, that you had to have a two-factor, you know, a second authentication of that payment for it to be approved. And that's a requirement through the EU regulation that's coming into force. So there's a balance between ease, convenience, and speed and security. And so when you add these two-factor authentication or one-time passwords or your SMS code to the payment process, it's one extra step. But you know, buyers like me, hey, I feel a lot more comfortable when I do it that way. And I'm willing to take that extra time.
We've mentioned that consumers are now less likely to abandon cards than they were 4 years ago.
Yeah.
How are they paying for things now?
Well, in 2014, we found that 22% of the respondents said they abandoned a cart because it didn't offer them a payment option that they wanted to use. That decreased. We also asked what their preferred online payment method was. And we found that half of the respondents said an e-wallet, like a PayPal, was their preferred online payment method. Then it was a direct debit or a credit card that they could use. So in the UK market, it is consistent with what we've seen over many years, that it's a e-wallet and a card payment market. The others, there was very, very low responses for any other payment method. That was at least a preferred online payment method in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, the only really remarkable thing here that I see is that debit and credit card usage has increased by 20% over the last 4 years.
Right.
Is there any reason why it's happened? Are there simply more Visa debit cards out there in the world?
You know, when PayPal came out, the value proposition for PayPal was it's secure. You know, you don't have to share your credit card details with a merchant. Maybe a merchant you've never bought from before, somebody you don't know. And over time, on the card side at least, people are becoming more comfortable because of the protections that they have with fraud on their card. So that may be one of the reasons that you see an increase of the use or the preference for debit or credit cards from that 23% in 2014 to 43% this year.
So one of the other interesting questions that was asked in the survey, which is probably of interest to merchants in general, is what is your preferred online payment method?
When we looked at this in 2014, you know, we asked people why they abandoned an online retail website at checkout. And 22% told us that it was because they didn't offer the payment method that they preferred or they wanted to use. What we found this year in our survey is that those preferred online payments split into two categories. The first is e-wallet, like a PayPal. That was 50% of the respondents said they preferred to pay with something like a PayPal. We had 43% who preferred a debit or credit card. So we find that in the UK market, at least, those two payment methods that hold the most of payment market share or at checkout. This can be different by market. You can go to Germany, you can go to India, you can go to Singapore. As a merchant or as an online seller, you really want to look into that market and see what those preferred payment methods. There may be three or four. But what we found here through the survey is that it's dominated by e-wallets and by cards.
And it seems that merchants have done a pretty good job of at least implementing the payment methods that consumers like, because one of the other survey questions that we have here is, would you be happy to pay for goods online if they only accepted a payment method you had not heard of? And this year, 77% said no, and obviously 23% said yes. Mm-hmm. But it's decreased again. In 2014, 92% of respondents said no. So clearly, merchants have gotten at least a glimpse at this, or have figured out that there is a correlation between having payment methods that consumers want and sales, essentially. One of the other interesting questions is, again, directly related to e-commerce and trends, cross-border e-commerce in particular, was, have you ever tried to buy goods online from an overseas retailer? And if yes, where from? Mm-hmm. Last time we asked this question in 2014, we had simple yes and no. We did not ask for any more particulars. And this year, in 2018, we have also asked from which countries they've come from. So maybe you could walk us through and tell us what the results say.
Right. For me, this is one of the most revealing aspects of the survey, that people are more willing to buy from a non-domestic or an overseas seller or retailer or online merchant. Back in 2014, only a little more than half of the respondents said that they would have tried to buy goods online from an overseas retailer. Now, 70% said that they had tried. So this globalization of e-commerce is certainly happening. We did ask them about which countries they have bought from. And 45% said from China. So there's a lot of sellers in China, and there's a lot of very good marketplaces, platforms where you can buy directly from sellers there. And we've seen the success, for instance, in AliExpress. From the U.S., that was another dominant market. 43% of the respondents had bought from a U.S. retailer. And from the U.K., 34% of our respondents said that they had purchased from continental Europe.
I'm actually kind of struck by how low mainland Europe is with 34%. Yeah. I would have assumed, because of its proximity to the rest of Europe, almost being a part of Europe, that there would be a higher rate of buying from.
Yeah, I mean, one way of looking at this is, for mainland Europe, most of the goods that you can buy online, you can also buy in store, just because of the European Union. So the French goods, the German goods, Italian goods in the UK, shops, you probably can find the same goods there. What you can't find are goods from the United States so much, or goods from China so much. And so if you're looking for something specifically from the that's a US-made product or a Chinese-made product, you would go to a retailer in that region.
I think most listeners can probably figure out that we're both Americans here. Have you ever bought anything from the U.S. that you can't find in Europe?
I have.
What was it?
I have. I'm a woodworker.
Are you really?
And there is some tools that are made in Maine. And they're handmade tools, and I buy them there. And I have them shipped to Luxembourg and use them here. It's an example of the things that you can't find locally, you can now find online. And because of that, if you're offering that payment method to that person, you know, you're more willing to make that overseas purchase.
And do you recall which payment method your toolmaker in Maine used? Was it?
You know, my case is a little different because I have a U.S. account, so I could use my U.S. Visa card or my U.S. Wells Fargo Visa card or something. So it would be, if I was Luxembourgish and I was wanting to make a payment there, it would be great if I was able to use one of my local bank transfer methods, or they probably offer PayPal, which is more of a global standard for e-wallets.
So we've actually gone through all of the survey questions already, but were there any results that surprised you more than anything else?
I'm encouraged to see more of the online payment, online payments and purchases from overseas retailers. There's just an inevitable globalization of or a willingness to for buyers to find the goods that they're looking for from people who sell outside of their country. And that means overcoming some of the language barriers or the shipping logistic barriers and things like this, or having to wait. People are still willing to do that. And seeing so much of the purchases coming in from, let's say, China, the U.S., the rest of Europe, that was interesting to me.
Excellent. Well, Jack, thank you so much for joining me today and walking me through these survey results. I really appreciate it.
I'm happy to do it. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much for listening. And a reminder that you can follow PPRO on Twitter and Instagram at PPRO_group. Until next time.